Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I want to mention that keep Keith in your prayers. He's homesick this morning, and so be mindful of that. I know he's not feeling well at all, as are others, and so we want to keep our brothers and sisters in our prayers who are down right now. The group that went to Canada, we had an excellent trip, and we thank you for all your prayers. The majority of that, the expense for that trip came from those who went, but it was supplemented some from the congregation, and I'll give details, give a full report about the trip in a couple weeks. But so thank you. Thank you for your prayers. I want to mention that, you know, we got a lot done on the building while we were there, and you can see in the bulletin just one quick picture this morning of kind of a before and after shot. But it was fun. You know, I was on the third string team. I wasn't, you know, Ted and Brian were first string, and they're up on the roof doing things that I couldn't do. And Susan Bowen, she's on the second team. You know, she knew how to do a lot of things, in fact, in ways that frightened a number of us, but she didn't cut off any parts of her body, did not injure herself or anyone else. But I was on the third team. Jackson was with me. We were on the third team. And I got to use power tools, and so don't think the third team is, you know, there's, don't think that's too wimpy. We got to operate some things. And before we bought a second nail gun, and I want to mention that a couple of you contributed some funds to send with us, and we thank you for that, because at one point while we were there, we took some of those funds and bought a second nail gun to sped up the work. But before that, with the hammer in hand, I want you to know the nails were really frightening to me, and I was working them over. They were running and hiding, and I was finding them and pounding them. Anyway, it was a sight to see. But we're back, and we bring greetings from John and the church there in Canada, and we'll give more details in a couple weeks. I want to continue a thought this morning from a couple weeks ago about spiritual forces and Satan's tactics. And as I mentioned then, some images that I'll show, you know, how do you draw Satan? How do you represent in a visual way evil angels or demons or evil forces? We don't know what those things look like, and so we can only speculate. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." If we could see what is around us, good and evil, what would we see? I have to think that if we could see what is truly around us, we would be speechless. We would be in awe. We would be frightened. We would be different people entirely. And we have a glimpse of that, and we looked at it a couple weeks ago in 2 Kings 6:17. We have Elijah, Elisha, and his comfort because he can see God's army, God's spiritual army on the hills, and his servant cannot. And God, he prays, and God opens his servant's eyes, and he sees hills full of horses and chariots of fire. It would amaze us what we would truly see around us, spiritual forces of evil. This is one of my favorite times of the year. It's because of football. And I watch the NFL a little bit, but I really enjoy college football. And so things are getting back into full swing. Teams are coming and practicing two-a-days and training, and then here in a few weeks, they will start to prepare for game week. And a week at a time, they will prepare for their opponents. In fact, some teams in the offseason, they'll make changes with their team specifically for certain opponents. Maybe maybe certain teams ran an offense the previous year that they struggled with, and so they'll make changes within their team. They're continually looking at what their opponent is doing and how can we defeat them. I want to ask, what is Satan trying to do? What is Satan trying to do with you? And his number one goal, we can be confident of this, Satan's number one goal is to drive a wedge between you and God. You can know that for sure. Satan's number one objective is to drive a wedge between you and God. And I want to ask just a side question, just to ponder a second and think about it later. Does Satan attack us more or less when we become a Christian? If you're a Christian, I know most of us are, is Satan working on you more or less than your neighbor who is not a Christian? We need to realize that just because we become a Christian doesn't mean God puts a hedge around us that keeps us from all struggles or all temptations. The reality is, surely, Satan works on us more when we are walking with God. And so the more you walk with God, be careful. I'm not saying don't walk with God. I'm saying the more you walk with God, you need to realize the more Satan is coming after you. James chapter 1 verse 13 gives us some information about Satan and temptation. Scripture says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The Greek words in this passage that are translated, dragged away and enticed, those are fishing terms. The King James says drawn away and enticed. The New American Standard says carried away and enticed. Satan wants to bait you into sin. A few weeks ago, we went on vacation to Tennessee and stayed with family and then stayed with friends. And one evening, we were fishing on the lake and sitting on a dock. And so we had, you know, fishing poles and lines and the bobbers and the hooks. And then we had the bait, the worms. And would you believe no one wants to bait the hook or retrieve, get the fish off the hook. But we have the bait on the hook. And would you believe that sometimes, because we were there with our friends' kids, and sometimes a hook would get cast out without bait on it. Now, would it shock you that we never got a nibble on a hook without bait? Satan will not trap you or entice you to sin without some type of bait. But he baits us all. And we understand how that works. Satan honestly works in a lot of ways. And there are a lot of things to say about our battle with Satan. And I won't cover it all today, but I want us to look at three today. And these are tactics of Satan. And the first one is deception. To deceive somebody means that we make another person believe a lie or something that's not true. Jesus, when he was speaking to the Pharisees in John 8:44, he said to the Pharisees, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." Jesus said, when he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Think about it. From the beginning, Satan has been lying. The first thing we read about Satan is he's lying. He's speaking to Eve. God said that if they ate of this tree, they would die. And Satan says, you will not surely die. He lies. Satan lies continually to us. And in a lot of different ways. And, you know, in this auditorium today, our ages vary. Our situations in life vary. There are a lot of differences, but Satan knows you. And he will lie to you. He tells lies. Some of Satan's classic lies are things like, it's no big deal, everyone does it. If I choose not to watch movies that are real, that have sinfulness in them, well, there's no movies for me to watch. If I choose not to listen to music that has bad things in it, I have no music to listen to. Those are some of Satan's lies. Satan will lie to us and say it's okay for me and my boyfriend or girlfriend to live together before married because only old people think that's wrong anymore. You need to know, young people, you need to know that's a lie of Satan. That God in the beginning in Scripture says that a man and woman should be together only in marriage. And He says that all throughout the book. And if we want to call God old, I suppose He is the oldest. If we want to call Him old-fashioned, call God what we want. But those are lies of Satan. Satan will say that everyone knows we came from monkeys and that we have evolved. And Satan will say that science has proved that. That's a lie of Satan. Satan will say that people are just born that way, that it's just an alternative lifestyle. That's a lie of Satan. Satan will say that you cannot judge people. The Bible says don't judge. That's a lie of Satan. Jesus said there are times to not judge, and Scripture says there are times to judge. Write down 1 Corinthians 5:12 and 13 if you want to look that up. 1 Corinthians 5:12 and 13. The statement that Scripture teaches we are to never judge is a falsehood, and it's a lie of Satan. Satan will lie and say, well, we might think it's our own thought, but we might say, I know it's gossip, but if I don't tell someone, I'm going to explode. Anyone ever heard that lie of Satan? Satan is so good because he speaks to us in a way that we think is us. We think this is my thought, and I'm not that bad, so if it's my thought, it can't be that bad, can it? And yet we started out with James that tells us we have evil desires, so don't trust yourself. I would like to give to God, but I just don't have any extra money right now. That's a lie of Satan. Satan will lie to you with your own thoughts. He will lie to you with your closest friends. He will lie to you through your family members. He will lie to you through your children. He'll lie to you through your spouse. He lied to Jesus through His closest of friends, Peter. He lied to Adam through his wife, companion, and only other human being on this planet, his wife Eve. Satan will lie to us. Number two, Satan works on us through temptation. Temptation often follows deception. Satan will tell us, he told Eve, you won't surely die. And notice this. You will not surely die. That's a lie. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good. Have you noticed that she saw it was good? In other words, the worm on the hook, the temptation. She saw that after she believed the lie. Satan will lie to you and then he'll tempt you or entice you. In Matthew 4, Jesus was led out in the desert to be tempted by the devil. The devil lied to him, trying to convince him that it would be harmless to jump off a building. And then he tempted him to do so. When Satan is tempting us, he's showing us the worm on the hook. Number three is Satan's, another method of Satan's is accusations. And we know from Revelation, we have a passage in Revelation 12:10. That says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Satan is referred to here as the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before God day and night. That's what Satan did with Job. You know, the story of Job gives us a brief glimpse into what happens sometimes in God's throne room. And the book of Job tells us Satan was there and God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan accused Job. in saying that, well, Job's only faithful because you protect him. Satan is an accuser. He is the accuser. Satan is known or has been known to take a believer who has done something that they really regret from their past, and Satan will not let you forget it. And he'll beat you up about it. And if you're here today and you struggle with forgiving yourself from something from your past, you need to know that is Satan. It is Satan who says, God will not accept you back. It is Satan who says, you don't belong. It is Satan who says, you don't need to forget that. You're not worthy of forgetting that. When God forgives us, He removes it as far as the east is from the west, and Satan goes and retrieves it and reminds us of it. But as far as God's concerned, it's forgiven. Satan is the accuser. Well, I want us to go back through these three and notice how we deal with them. How do we battle Satan when he does this? What do I do when he deceives us? And the answer is, and notice in, back up a second. Notice in the armor of God, we have the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit. Now, the Word of God is truth, right? The Bible is truth. And yet the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So you have the Word of God in the belt, and you have the Word of God in the sword. You have truth in both places. The belt is a defensive part of the armor. The belt holds the armor together. It is for the purpose of defense. And the sword is for the purpose of offense. And so the reality is, when Satan tries to deceive us, we need God's truth in order to defend ourselves, in order defensively to oppose what Satan's trying to lie to us about. And at the same time, we also need the sword to offensively battle Satan. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." Those would be lies of Satan. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do you renew your mind toward truth? And the answer is God's Word. Why do we come at 9:30 for Bible class on Sunday morning? I hope we don't come because the doors are open and I'm just going to come every time the doors are open. I hope that's not, I'm not saying that's a bad procedure. I'm saying that's a bad reason. Why do I come for Bible class Sunday morning? We come for Bible class Sunday morning because we need God's Word in us to battle the devil. And I will battle him today, and I'll battle him tomorrow, and you will every day of your life. And you need God's Word. You need to understand it more. Why do we come Wednesday night? It's not because we're bored. It's not because, well, we'll feel guilty if we don't. We come Wednesday night because we need to know God's Word more. Because I'm battling Satan daily. And I need to know it because Satan is lying to me. And so we have God's Word is helpful to defend ourselves against Satan's lies. And it's also helpful offensively. When Jesus was tempted in the desert three different times, we have that record. How did Jesus deal with Satan? And the answer is, he quoted Scripture. He swung the sword of the Spirit offensively against Satan. Number two, dealing with Satan's tactic of temptation. James 4:7 tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so Scripture tells us, if you want to deal with Satan's temptation, the worm on the hook, resist it. But then if we read on in James, James tells us, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And so our dealing with Satan's temptation is twofold. I want to run from the temptation. I want to run from that. And at the same time, I want to run to God. Because the closer I am to God, the further I am from Satan. King David said in Psalm 119:11, he said, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And one of the ways that we deal with temptation is we are so close to God and His Word is in our heart that it prepares us for the times that we are tempted. How do we deal with accusations? The accusations that Satan brings against us. Look at Ephesians 6:16. It says, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." What are the flaming arrows? That doesn't sound like temptation. It may be that the flaming arrows are the accusations. You're not worthy. You can't do this. You need to let someone else do this. Maybe it is temptations. Everyone else is doing it. This is not really a problem, because if you look at it this way, you know, when your mind starts saying, if you look at it this way, that's Satan. But how do we deal with the flaming arrows of Satan? And the answer is the shield of faith. When Satan tries to accuse you of sins that God has forgiven you of, you deal with that with the faith that you have that God has forgiven me. Satan says he hasn't forgiven you. Do you have faith that he has? Yes, our struggle is forgiving ourselves, but the shield of faith means, do I really believe God when He says that His Son's blood was enough? Have you committed a sin that the blood of Jesus can't reach? And the answer is no. And it's faith that we are able to defend ourselves against those fiery darts. Look at what Paul said in Philippians 3:13. Now, Paul considered himself the chief of sinners. He says, "I do not consider myself to yet have taken hold of it," meaning salvation or heaven, "but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Forgetting what is behind and reaching toward what is ahead. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone." Amen. And the old is my sins from my past. The old is the things that I wish I could forget. The old includes the things that I wished I had never done. Hebrews 10:17, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." So when Satan is beating you up with his fiery darts, with accusations, you tell Satan the old has gone and the new has come. Tell Satan that God has washed your sins clean. Satan's objective is to separate you from God. And his objective is to also separate you from other Christians. Why do we come on Wednesday nights? We do come to learn more of God's Word, but we also come because Satan is trying to separate me from godliness. And when you're at work on Monday, you're around a lot of worldliness. And when you're what happens Tuesday or at school, you're around a lot of worldliness. Why are we in a small group? Because God is trying to separate me from godliness, and I need the godly strength of my brothers and sisters. What is Satan trying to do with you? Every day. So these are just some things that we can take with us as we battle Satan. On top of all this, I would cover it all in prayer. Prayer, prayer. We need to pray more. And we need to have our eyes open. This morning we're going to sing a song of encouragement, and you may need prayers this morning. It may be that this morning, now is the time to have your sins washed away. You've never given your life to Christ. If there's something you need, we would ask that you would please come while we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of